The Broken Arrow, a traditional bow hunting podcast with your host, Schaefer Magnet and Chris Seacole. Brought to you by Black Widow Bows, Safari Tough, Great Northern Quivers, Addictive Archery, and Laurel Mountain Outfitters. Well, we're starting now.
Okay.
Now, episode 113.
Yep. With
Jess Gooden.
Yep. I thought you were going to go there.
I was waiting for you to go. No, we had Jess on finally. Yep. We've been talking to Jess for a while to try and get him on here, and finally we pulled it off. So, and it did not disappoint.
It was good. Good quality stuff. Learned a ton about his sharpeners. I've somehow been to his booth several times, and I think I've missed every tutorial on the sharpeners one way or another.
I think I'm with you on that. I think the first one I caught was at Kalamazoo.
Yeah, so like there was a few things I was always curious about, learned in this podcast. And then on top of that, Jess was gracious enough to do the giveaway, which is already out there in the universe if you are on Instagram. I guess we should throw out a quick apology that all the giveaways are going to be on Instagram just to keep it simple.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
And another one, I don't know if you know it or not, one entry. If you put one down entry, multiple, you're still only going to get one. Sorry, but we're going to try and make this fair. One entry per person.
One entry, and it just keeps things way simpler for us.
Yeah.
That was our bad also for not mentioning it in the post.
Yeah, our minds struggle with minor tasks as is.
Yeah, so you all heard me try to do the giveaway for the Safari Tough case with Ken Beck. Ran machine.
Yeah.
But anyways, solid.
This one will be better with the Safari Tough one's happening on the Eclipse. So, I mean,
you got April 8th for Safari Tough.
Yeah.
And April 15th.
What's your plan on that? The 8th?
Personally, my plan is to come up with, I'm going to write everybody's name down.
Okay.
And then I don't know if we'll do a live thing or not.
Let's do a live one, because then I can jump in on it, because I'm going to be on vacation, but I can still jump in.
Okay.
What time?
We'll figure it out one way or another.
That's I have no idea. That's a Monday or a Sunday?
That's a Monday.
Monday.
And then I want to say the steamboat one is the 15th. That's the following Monday.
Cool.
So
two huge giveaways. Thank you to Safari Tough. We should probably say what it is. We're giving away. Randy and Danny donated a dozen Taipan arrows with your choice of components. Yep. That's pretty sweet. And then Jess and Reese donated is it called the Supreme Sharpener or something? It's like
it's the sharpening station.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I think there's two stones plus
and the harvester
model,
and they're both the new composite base.
Right. So there's gonna be two separate giveaways from Steamboat. Thanks, Jess. And then a dozen arrows from the Safari Tough fellas.
Yeah.
So that's pretty sweet. Thanks, guys, for the donations, and thanks for everybody who's entering. That's awesome. And I hope, you know, it's awesome because you get some cool stuff. Also coming up June 13th through the 16th, we have the Compton Traditional Bowhunters Rendezvous. It's celebrating a big one, 25 years. I don't know if you guys have gotten in on like the shop stuff, but I got my 25th year mug and some other things. I don't know, Schaefer, did you get anything?
Not yet.
Not yet. Step it up, buddy. That mug is sweet. I love it. Speakers, Friday night, we got the one and only Tom Klum. And then Saturday night is Jim Wellems. So some good speakers. It's going to be a killer weekend. Get out there. It is in, where the heck are we?
Berrien Springs, Michigan.
Thank you. Berrien Springs, Michigan.
I have been. It is a good shoot.
I need to be one of these days.
One a year.
What do you got coming up?
So actually something we're both potentially going to, both feeling pretty good about it.
Pretty sure. We're above the 90% mark.
Yeah, this is new. Not
to us.
To us, not in general. Yeah. It's actually the 30th annual Whittingham shoot in New Jersey. which is April 19th, 20th, and 21st. Mm-hmm. And it appears this is the first year they brought back camping since COVID.
Yeah.
So that's been a big hang up for me because I don't want to pay for campgrounds or hotels. So I almost went last year, but it looks like a blast. I know Gary Hall is going to be there. So
yep, he's been on us about this one for at least 2 or 3 years now, and now yeah. we're going allegedly.
Hopefully. I think we're both going to get there late Friday night, mm-hmm. so basically going to be there for the Saturday and early Sunday, and then yeah. I'll probably head out. But
I don't care. We get to shoot. I'm thrilled. I'm excited.
Absolutely, that'll be a good warm up for the bear hunt.
Awesome sauce. What else we got? Anything else going on?
Trying to crank out episodes, keep yep. it weekly.
We might have next week off. We might not. We haven't decided yet. Is that right?
I do have a recording planned. So okay. there is tentatively no reason we should miss a week. Chris is going to be in Disney.
But there's a snowball's chance in hell I'll at least call in, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's going
to be an HVAC special, of course, yeah, since we're celebrating Chris not being there.
Basically, I'll be taking some abuse, and I'll have to call in for a little bit so I don't get beat too bad.
It won't be.
And then we got one coming up this Thursday, which will be a good one. Well, we're recording Thursday. It'll release on Monday. So the whatever they do while I'm gone will release the following Monday. So lots of good stuff. And then it doesn't stop after that. I mean, we have episode after episode lined up. So we're going to be lots to come. Lots of good stuff to come. We're really excited about it.
We're going to try to keep it weekly as long as we can.
It doesn't seem to be too difficult.
No.
No, we're not having a problem doing that. So that's cool. Anybody needs anything, suggestions, anything like that, you can always message us. And that's about it, right?
Think so.
All right. Enjoy.
If you've made it this far into the intro.
Thanks. Enjoy episode 113 with Jess Goodman. And we'll see you all soon.
Sounds good.
Because we're down in the world headquarters of Steamboat Super Sharper, packing and assembly room.
Quick, excellent. Introduce yourself so Schaefer's old man will leave me alone.
So we're going for this already.
We're going to. I thought about cutting him off because he was kind of a jerk to me in a post the other day on Insta Spam. But for everybody else except for Greg Magnet, why don't you introduce yourself?
Jess Goodman, and I got a co-part named Reese Goodman, and we own Steamboat Super Sharpeners.
And they are super.
Did you like that?
Dude, I got some questions because like, so I take into the, like, I've always used a Lansky system, right? And I've said this a million times on here because that's how I sharpen my broadheads and all that crap, right?
Right.
And like, if I just, like, I have an older Gerber knife that I really beat on when I'm like, when I'm processing deer, like I'll take it up the brisket part there. I'll take it right
take
up through
your palm.
Yeah. Right up through the bone. I beat the snot out of it. I'm not good to it. And when I have to resharpen it after I process a deer, it takes forever. It's like the biggest pain in the nuts. And I have to go through all those steps of different coarse stones.
Medium, fine.
Yeah. And there's the one that's like super coarse, the black one. And it's just, right. it's basically you're putting a new edge on it. I had that knife sitting outside on my back deck since I killed my buck in November and
abused.
And I didn't sharpen it. Cause I got that one from you in January at Kalamazoo. So it sat out in snow and everything. And then I brought it in and it didn't rust. It's a for a Gerber, it's an all right knife, I guess.
No, they got good hard steel.
Yeah, it's okay. It's cut up a lot of deer. But anyway, I brought it in and the thing was like there's like dinks out of the blade and stuff. And holy crap, dude. I mean, I sharpened it right up like with very little effort, and I want to know why.
One of it's the domestic made rods. And I'm not going to try to be my used vacuum cleaner salesman, but
yeah,
it's really the American made product. The ceramic and aluminum oxide that we're using, it's all sourced and made here. And that's where copies like the Lansky, and I'm not knocking anything. Mm-hmm. It's just, I know guys that have burned 8 or 9 of those, you know, and they're like, oh, I love it, but they don't last. And they're, you know, that's a big common myth when they come up to the booth. They're like, well, I liked it, but once them rods filled in, they're done. And I'm like, no, Barkeeper's Friend, Ajax, Comet. And they're like, yeah, I tried all that. Brillo pads. And I'm like, okay, then it's probably your system. What do you got? And they're like, they say some names. But, and it really is the rods. I mean, we got guys coming back with 30, 40, 50 years. Like that series was one of the first, well, the first rendition on this board. And then I actually just found a really like the very first prototype. I bought it on eBay. So that was the old two-stick system, but that was just ceramic. And then the alumina oxide we brought back out 3 years ago. I actually found it in a bundle of rods.
Yeah.
And I was asking Ben, I'm like, what's those bright white ones? He goes, oh, I was mixing them up and they're more money. And as soon as I stuck those on a board, when I got home, I'm like, give me the part number, the order number, everything. We need to get those because they just cover such a wide range. Everything's getting so hard. Randy did that video on the iron wheels. I mean, when you, I don't remember what Rockwell, I don't know if they're like that 61, 62.
I believe so. Like, yeah.
Right. So VPAs are like 55 on the blacks. Then VPAs are, I think, 55, 56. And Ryan, don't browbeat me on it. But, and then I think the green stuff's like 58, 59. And I don't remember what the omegas are, but
those are up there. And they're S7 to add on top of it. So,
right. And sharpening those on our system on the alumina oxide, I went through a lot of those at ETAR showing guys how to do it. Just the way that bevel's cut, man, it's like it fires up like right now in their machining process. And I'll come out and say it. I'm a VPA leg humper. I mean, American.
If it makes you feel better, I just ordered six before. I mean, I got their three blades, but I just ordered six. No,
same. Yeah. So I run the inch and a quarter for like birds and deer.
Yeah.
And then I run the inch and an eighth mostly on everything else. Three blades, mostly what I shoot. I do have some two blades. I think for Africa, we're going to rig up like a thin profile two blade with like a skinny arrow. I think I'm going to try to do a management giraffe.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Right. And the prices aren't what people think. I mean, you know, when people say you got, like, I won the first hunt at a banquet for $2,000. Now I'm giving all my secrets away, and that was with five animals, but we won a four man at Compton and it came out to $812.50 a piece.
Well, it's not too bad.
Right. So that's all your stays. I mean, you can do a trip like that for like on the cheap $4,500 to $6,500 if you go to these banquets a bit on stuff. So yeah, guys, get in on it, help them organizations out too. It goes, you know, going back to Compton and those places. We went to Trophy Game Safari, and I think this spot's going to be Limpopo Valley, but they just opened up, I think, 38,000 acres on that place.
Oh wow.
So I don't know, we never been there. Brett Kegel, Brian Miller, and Dan Tuttle and I won that year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago at Compton.
Awesome. So, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Then it's got to watch what I do with vacation anymore. So usually now it's like one trip, but yeah, going good. Chris bailed out, it looked like. He had enough. He was out.
Exactly. Now, he told me he might have to bail for like 5 minutes real quick.
No, you're so good, man. Yeah, but no, sharpener's a good American-made product. It's been around 50 years now. We didn't come up with it. I grew up on it, and just trying to keep it going and improve on it.
Yep. So I've personally never used one. I've been at the booth a few times with Chris, and the one thing that's always... Maybe you can walk through this, and I mean, as much as Chris isn't here, I did want to say, depending on how much you show, I do have the ability to upload this onto YouTube. So, like, if you want to go full on sales pitch, yeah,
no,
feel free to, and people can watch it on YouTube. But
we did a thing. We went up to TAC, and Crystal Mountain, and the guys at Exodus Trail Cameras were right next to us at the booth.
Yep.
Jake and his buddies. But dude, they shot a video of me like in 5 minutes, and the quality was just, that's the new stuff on YouTube. Going over it, we're looking into better audio equipment for our new cameras we bought, and we homeschool, and the daughter's probably going to be taking over. Like, you got to have a niche or a skill to, you know, eat around here and get free room and board. So you might you might have to be my editor, my splicer, lighting girl. So no, that's what we're doing here. And it was a mom and pop shop to start with. So kind of a little backstory on the business. It was mom and pop, and they would build them. It was Ben and Wayne, father and son, and Maul and Paul would go down to Florida, and they'd pack the camper full, bring everything down there, and they literally, every town would get into the old Yellow Pages and go to the gas station, ask people, pawn shops, XYZ, and they build a base going all the way down and snowbirding for the winter. So then the son was back home making them, and then they were also restocking. So big down Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, parts of Kentucky, South Carolina, North Carolina. So down there, that's where the wholesale base was built, and they never had like a sales store or website or any type of social media. And we're just about that much above on social media. We got shadow banned really early because of the knife algorithm.
Okay.
So, I got to get bigger than I am and let my ego go, because like guys are like, well, just pay to get out of jail. And I'm like, you know what I mean?
Shouldn't have to.
Right. Like we're showing pictures of kids fighting in the schoolyards, for God's sake, damn near death. But I can't show a knife on a knife sharpener.
No, and there's people, yeah. There's people getting killed on Instagram all the time. You can see it, but you can't show.
All right, we're good. So sorry about that. We're back. Minor little craziness in my house, but we're back at it. All right, sorry, Jess. Didn't mean to cut you off there that quickly, but
slowly getting to, Jess, was the one thing that's always confused me with the system is I've always taken ceramic rods as like a finishing step,
right?
So, like, if you have a completely destroyed edge, what's step one to finish product?
I had the same thought, too. So,
okay, well, I don't know how many shows. Reese has the calendar, and on, like, a regular, like, notebook sheet for shows we do is probably about that long right now. So, that's probably been really the last 2 years. So, I get run-of-the-mill walk-in cow dung, baler twine melded on, and something like it comes in. The electrician and a mechanic are your two worst knives out of probably the last 6,000 knives I've surveyed.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Electricians are stripping wire with it, man, all day long.
Everything they're cutting is hard. Don't know how, and a hook knife for alignment. So you got that big concave, convex blades and odd shapes. The big thing is on our system, like, on the ceramic end is what they always called the coarse, and that's a 22 degree. And the whole reasoning, because we run 3 degrees tighter on that side, is because we're really narrowing that edge down, and we're aligning and we're straightening that out. Like, people think a steel cuts, a steel doesn't cut. Now, there might be some German steel out there with diamond impregnation, and somebody might say you're wrong on that and fact check me, but most of the part, your steel just puts the burr standing back up. Like, I always try to like narrate it like that. It stacks it and it keeps it in a, you know, a straight plane. Well, that's kind of what our first step's doing. And it's also taking that edge, narrowing that edge up, so it's thinned out, and then we can go over to our fines. But that aluminum oxide, that's why I brought that rod out, was because I just seen how versed it can be with pressure. And that's why I try to tell everybody, I can put a hair popping edge on a knife, most knives, like in under 45 seconds.
Easily.
easily. Yeah. Yeah. So, and whatever walks up there, and there's guys with brand new bench mades that don't want me to touch their knife because they think that factory edge is great. Well, if you just go up there lightly and just sit there on those alumina oxide and stand that up and barely draw it on, I guarantee that edge is going to be, and I'm not looking through microscopes, but it adds edge to anything, especially when it's maintained every day. Losing an edge is what people have an issue with. When you're regrinding, like what you were talking about on the landscape,
mm-hmm.
you're hogging off material on a course, and mm-hmm. you're coming over on them, you know, and then, you know, you're basically starting over and losing a knife. And I'm a fan of all sharpening systems, especially when guys want to get real nitty gritty and get precise, like crazy, you know, almost like autistic level of sharpening. That will keep that edge on our sharpening system just slightly stay, and then you're not doing all that to keep it there. So
I'm like the worst guy to try and chart. I use the Lansky stuff because it's in a jig, and I'm forced to hold it at that perfect angle. Right. Schaefer and I always joke. He always makes fun of me because I can never ever in a million years sharpen broadheads with a file. I would screw it up. But for some reason,
I'm still proud of you though.
It's just so easy to use that even my dumbass doesn't screw it up. And, right. and I'm not trying to blow smoke or something. I'm just saying,
right.
When I sharpened that knife, I was like, holy shit. And then I started going through knives. Like I have a stack, an SE over there. I have a Sacred Bear. I have a Broken Compass. And I went through Styles knife after knife knives. After knife. Yeah, one of Styles' knives. Yeah. I went knife after knife after knife, sharpening them all. And then, like, I mean, I still kind of, like, without hair right there because I was just sitting there, and they're all hair
Hunter's
popping.
Mange. Hunter's mange.
God, I just couldn't believe. Now, I haven't done broadheads yet. And I think this is kind of where Schaefer wants to go, too. Like, what right. if I start off with an ace that has no edge? I mean, are you going straight to the...
So let's start with a brand new ace or like a brand new, I don't want to say older style head, but like
something,
yeah,
something I mean, where they have like a noticeable burr from their grind,
yeah,
but they also right, didn't try right. to put an edge on it either.
Right. Yeah. Just like a big, like basically...
They created the bevel.
A vicious burr is on it.
Yes. Right. They took it in a fixture and they ran it right over to like an 80 grid on a mm-hmm. sander. And that's that big, mm-hmm. has that big roller gagger yep. burr on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to shorten work up. Like I said, I'm a fan of all sharpening systems, but, and I'm looking around here at all the crap I got laying around. But one thing I really like to use is the DiaSharp stones, the DMT stones, when stuff is really, I mean, some of that stuff had been laying in the bottom of a tackle box with water and, you know what I mean? Great big pitting.
Mm-hmm.
Or I like standing them up. I got a little vise mounted over here and I'll just bite down on them stamped or riveted or spot welded heads like the old Grizzlies El Grande. There's a pile of file work, guys. I mean, if you wanted to get all those laminations and I mean, Denny Sturgis, like what he's done with his Zwicky, those old bear razor heads and Zwickies is in a Mitchell underspin reel. Mitchell's caught more record pike than anything, and bear razor heads and Zwickies have probably amassed more meat than anything known to man. You can't for sure. deny, right? And you can yeah. just take a file and rip through there. They're softer. And I mean, if you run them in and out of the quiver a couple of times, you need to hit them. I mean, why do you see a picture with Fred Bear like every yep. day at camp, right? Stay on them. So
would you take one out of the package and try to sharpen it with one of your sharpeners?
Well, right. Like a VPA and some of the machined heads that are already even out of the box, I yeah. go right there.
Right.
It's an 18 inch, it damn near looks like a horse rasp. But it's just a coarse file, flat yeah. file. Yeah. And I'll stand that in the vise and just throw that Sharpie. Or if it's an old nasty head that I already wire wheeled and shot it with paint, then I'll just stand that file up and I mean, hog material up. I mean, just throwing burrs and piles and shaving because I want them even. And that's some of the the lesser heads, you flip them from side to side, and guys, they all kill stuff. Tony Tall kills stuff with stones. I'm not here broadhead bashing.
Right.
Like, it all works where you put it where it goes.
As long as it's sharp and pointy.
Sharp and pointy and well-placed and stuff stays together.
Yep.
Basically the rules. But no, like, if it's in really bad shape, softer steel, I'm just going to rip right through them with stones. And we did do a station. See, this seems like a douchey, shameless plug. But no, the station, we just got co-poly bicarbonate, super like up to 900 degrees, this black stuff for a station. And we do the die sharp double-sided stones. So you get two of them, then it has grooves in it. So the fluid runs behind the stones. And then like I'll use Windex to use it on my stones. But most of my stuff around here, I just stay on that damn sharpener. I mean, I'm shooting machined heads anymore.
Yeah.
And not doing that much work, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the, what I'm starting to, I don't know. Yeah. The stamp steel heads, they need a lot of preliminary work basically.
Well, if you're starting out, grab an old ILF, grab an old Lemonwood, Hickory, whatever you got, shoot it.
Yeah.
Try to tune it the best you can, shoot it. Whatever heads you can find, shoot. I got piles, like whenever Faree owned Three Rivers, like in late 90s, very 2000, 2001, when he got my first bow set up. I shot Woodsman's forever, man.
And they, and
I still shoot. I still shoot seconds, yeah. Snuffers, like it's all.
I had never heard of Woodsman seconds. And then this is.
Well, don't live close to Three Rivers and you'll know all kinds of bad
things. Well, no. So this is the thing. I had never heard of them once. And this is the second time in a week it's come up.
Oh, really? Right. They're always painted orange or green or something to tattle on you.
I was talking with Bob Smith at a Big Stick, and he was saying he'd go to the Footed Shaft and buy a whole bunch of them.
Seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. They
kill stuff, man. That's a good judo point / groundhog point / pile it up.
So broadhead talk real quick. This is one. I don't know if Bob wants me to say this, but I'm going to, cause my mind's still kind of blown. Right. So we're on the phone, or I'm on the phone with Bob, and he's like, did you know a Woodsman and an 1¼ VPA are like the same size? And I'm like, it can't be. So he had me literally, you know, while we're on the phone, measure blade to blade.
Right.
And an 1¼ VPA is like a 32nd larger.
Larger, like cutting diameter or lengthwise?
Right. But so like, if you take a three blade, which I probably have one here, and you just measure from one blade to another blade at the rear point,
the distance between blades.
Correct.
All right.
It's like Chevron, a 32nd. Yeah. And I was like, I didn't believe him until I measured, and I'm like, hot dang, why would you ever shoot anything but the 1¼ VPAs at that point?
Right.
Because what hasn't a Woodsman killed?
Correct. No, the snuffer. What was the 160 snuffer?
That 1¼.
It looks
huge.
This. Right.
So I think the difference is how you measure. Like I don't know how Woodsman or snuffers decided to measure their 1¼. Is it blade distance? Like, I think VPA uses circumference.
That's how you measure a snuffer.
Oh, right there. Right.
Oh, no, and I was in between jobs, and I didn't have insurance, and I just let a ReadyMed surgeon, but I was tuned. I had a pair of pliers and on some old woodies
probably
20 years ago, and I when I slipped, it run in that palm, and it came. I seen the stuff that made your hand work, like yellow and white tendons and ligaments, like the first 10 seconds, and I was like,
uh-oh.
Yeah, and immediately just shoved a shop rag, drove down to the old man's, and I'm like, stitch me up. He's like, what? And then there's just blood pouring all the way down my arm.
Oh, God.
And I said, I get insurance in 3 days. I said, I don't have
make it work, man.
So, right. And he's like, and as soon as I open up, he's like, oh, hell no. He's like, got me into ReadyMed, but I don't remember how many internal and external, but my thumb works great. The guy did phenomenal.
Awesome. Really freed it up, actually. Probably got rid of some ligaments you didn't need.
You got a good range of motion there. I mean, look at that.
Right, yeah. No, it's a monkey thumb now. Like,
it's all right, man. I got this one going, so.
I'm just glad it works.
That's it. You didn't bleed out, so you got tougher, that.
Though.
You made it to 40. You're good.
Right. I never thought I'd make it this far.
All right, so that tangent out of the way now. So
word. We love left field.
So at this point, we've like totally ground away a factory edge with something like a bastard file, aggressive diamond stone.
Yeah, yeah, go straight on there. And those, I've been leaning more towards on the alumina oxide anymore. Coming when I have that burr established and it's rolled over and it's just broke, especially like a filed edge, that's where you can really start getting nasty on there and keeping them nasty. If they're in really bad shape, start off with the rougher stuff. If you have to machine stuff, go right on there. But that alumina oxide, like what you're talking about in this situation, I would go right there. Just because it covers, yeah, the thinner, actually the thinner ones. And that was always,
they're fine, right? Yeah,
right. They're fine, but it's just when you drag your thumbnail on there, the micron and the bite and the grab, it's still fine. But I just like some of the characteristics to what it pulls out in a wider range of material in various stages. It's just like, to me, it's like the coverall.
Gotcha.
The road I haven't gone down yet, and it's coming because my Leatherman Wave has a pretty nice serrated edge on the one blade that I use to open my pellet bags for my pellet stove. And yeah. I've noticed it's starting to get a little dull. So I want to sharpen that. And I know I saw you sharpen a serrated blade at Kalamazoo.
And that has bigger gaps. Like the serrated on the Gerbers have more of like a half a penny in some spots, right?
Yeah. They're spaced out. They're pretty spaced out. Yeah.
Right. And those do really good.
If you have
your cup side. On your cup side, your serrated side, then it's single bevel, right?
Yes. Schaefer, do you have yours on you right now?
My Leatherman?
Your Wave is in your pocket.
What model do you guys like?
I think we both have the Wave.
I don't have mine with me at the moment.
Is that with the Magna Cut?
It's got like a normal blade, and then it's got like a blade that kind of looks like a saw, but it's just a serrated.
No, you're good. I can, but just on the serrated side, the cup side, louver side, scallop side, whatever you want to call it, just stand that up on the cup side and just run that knife straight,
maybe like it's a regular blade,
right on the cup side. Them knuckleheads are going to try to bust through this door, you watch. The dogs. But on the cup side, rake that down just like you're sharpening that knife, but on the flat side, just like your broadheads, any single bevel side, on the flat single bevel side, just run it flat and break that burr. And
flat down the
time. Yep. Flat on the back, whatever's flat, run that angle. So standing up over here, laid down on the rod.
Got it.
And then you'll hear that burr break.
Okay.
And most of this, just like an inside of scissors, just take a single rod, work the inside of that flat. And a lot of time it's just an overrolled burr on your scissor needs broke.
Yeah.
All right.
Leatherman's broadhead scissors, we're covering it all right now.
You can let them in if you want them to get on the show real quick here. Dogs are allowed in the podcast.
Come on, dummy. Listen.
There's I'm three. Figure out what he's them, using so I, for a chair. It's a pool noodle.
Mm-hmm.
So no, they're pretty big. Come here, huh? I got probably an 85-pound male and he's 3. And then his sister was born with a disfigured leg, and she's the run of the litter and probably shouldn't have made it, but mom bottle fed her. The old lady did and saved that one. So that's her mean little crippled dog. And then I got a 6-year-old Jip here. But no, we got really like 6 kids.
That's awesome. Dogs rule.
They do.
So,
yep.
Did you guys cover why you got into this business? Did I miss that part? Or did you not get there?
The old man always had a couple different varieties of them. And then Larry Tuttle had a set of them. My best friend's old man, he was my godfather, still is. Mm-hmm. And, I just grew up around the system. And then, and I don't remember if we were crappie fishing. I think we were doing a lot of crappie, and my buddy runs a knife. He doesn't run electric. I run an American Angler saltwater series, and he had some type of German steel knives that he was really toting, and they were dull, and I hit him on that sharpener, and he goes, where do I get one of them? And I'm like, well, I know the guy. I don't know if he still makes them or not. So I called up Ben, and I said, hey, I'd like to have 2 sharpeners for my buddy, and might as well, while you're at it, give me another one for me. I think I had 2 or 3 at the time. And he goes, sharpeners? He goes, you sure you need a sharpener? You need to buy a sharpening business. And I said, I kind of need some sharpeners. He goes, nah, I think you sound remotely intelligent. You need a sharpening business. I was like, I don't know about that. And then we talked for a while, probably an hour. And then I got off the phone with wife, and the guy goes, wants to sell sharpening business. And she's like, what do you think? I said, I think it'd be great. It's all American Made, mom and pops. That's us. We homeschool and all that, make it a family entity. And she molded over, told me to get it. And I kind of forgot about it for 3 months, and we were eating dinner. I can't remember something. She goes, you going to do anything with that sharpening business? And I said, man, it'd be a cool idea. Maybe someday be self-employed. And then that's how you lose all your free time.
That thought right
so
there.
I just told you how to use all your vacation for shows, work out in the shop till 2:30 in the morning. But that's how you do it. That's how you buy a sharpening business.
Solid life plan right there.
It's everybody in like the traditional archery industry when they decide to make their favorite thing a business, and the next thing you know, they just, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's just like everybody said, we've had a nice spring. And I'm like, we've had a spring? Like, I've been in that shop closed up like a rat. And yeah, same way at a bow shoot. You're like, hey, did you see that shoot off? And I'm like,
nope.
You know, you're like, did you guys shoot in it? And I'm like, no. So yeah, it does. But we like supporting those events. That's a big thing. Compton's, Kalamazoo, ETAR, MTB, MLA, good group of people. And the kids are always family there to everybody.
Yeah.
So we're not missing out. Yep. No, it's good times, man.
Yeah, I guess I definitely don't want to call it an industry. It's more of just
good, I don't know, peoples.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it an industry. Oh man! No.
So to get back to the sharpeners, sorry, I've got a lot of questions all of a sudden,
dude.
So I'm currently scrolling through your website as we talk here. There's options ranging in prices. What actually changes throughout the different series, so to speak, because it all, like, once you're into the two, I don't know if you'd call it the 4 rod system, or you have,
right, so you got the sides. original yep. 2 rods, so that's just our 2 what we call our coarse rods, and that's set at a 22 degree angle, so you get 1 set of rods. And then the quad is what I bought the business on, and that is 2 different types of ceramic, a 3/8 and a half. That yep. was our staple forever. And that's like in the $31 price range. And then you go up to the ultimate series. And it's kind of confusing because we added so much because requests by customers. I mean, everybody wanted cases. Everybody wanted different woods. Everybody went, and I agree, they all should be there for different situations. But as soon as you get out of the original, you get into the ultimate, and basically it's the base change.
Different woods, like right?
Right. So this is our harvester. That is for wet environments, fish cleaning stations, butcher shops, chemicals, yeah, water, blood, guts, and gore. That's the harvester. That's yep, the white oak ultimate. White oak.
Yep.
White oak ultimate. And then we got a walnut ultimate. And then we call it the heirloom. We pull out some pimped out, marbled up, figured up stuff, laser engrave it with our logo. And then, so all of those were the ultimate, white oak ultimate, rod wise. So as soon as you get up to there, you're getting the same rods. That's why our biggest seller is the white oak ultimate. Because you're getting all the characteristics, everything is just the flavor of wood.
How fancy you want to get with your wood.
Right. And we do a legacy if you want custom names, family names, business names, whatever.
So once you're in the quad, what's changing is the wood choice?
Ultimate.
Okay. What's the difference between the quad and the ultimate, rod-wise?
Quad, yeah, it's two ceramics, 3/8. So alumina oxide is on the ultimate rod.
Okay. So
that's why that's the boy named that, I think, in the harvester. No, actually, the ultimate was an old name. They ran that product for a couple of years. Let me redact that. And then the boy came up with the harvester. So once you get to that white oak ultimate, you're getting into the ultimate line of rods.
Gotcha.
Okay, what's the life of these rods? How long?
That sets 45 years.
He figures it out.
Okay.
Yeah. Noted. No, if you keep them clean, that's the big thing, man. We had a guy, he called up Reese, sent him some pictures. I guess this is bad publicity on us, but he sent us some pictures in, and I'm not kidding you, those rods were blacker than the ace of spades. I mean, there was not 1 inch of those rods that wasn't pounded black from tip to tip, end to end. Like, he was on the ends and everything. And he goes, hey, I just need some new rods. My sharpener start working. It stopped working. And I go, and Reese shows me the picture. I go, it's not our sharpener. I said, we never had black rods. There's no way. And I tell him to send me an emblem or some type of something with our name on it. And he sent a picture and it was ours. And he goes, yeah, I figured after a while of use, they'd finally give out. He goes, it's been 30 years. And I go, did he ever clean them? And Reese emailed him and he's like, clean them? ? So, I mean, he got 30 years and was happy and that's no joke. That's one of we don't get any bad emails, but like, that was one that kind of got me wondering, like, what the hell's he got?
So what's the cleaning process? Because I know we briefly talked about this.
Barkeeper's Friend, Ajax, Comet, any type of white scouring powder under the sink with the holes in the top, dust them heavy, little bit of water, nylon brush, pull all those pieces out, clean those rods up, and good as new. Air dry them, towel dry them, don't put them in your bases. Our bases are burnished with beeswax. Every one is fit to size. And if you get a little bit of play in there, guys, you're going to want that over the life of the machine. Wood will tend to shrink a little. But if you ever have any tight spots on your rod, that probably wasn't very nice to say, was it? Put a little bit of paraffin wax or beeswax on there and turn them.
Lube them up.
Yep. If that's what you're into.
Yeah.
But
so anyway, moving on. Yeah, dude. So what was Reese using at Kalamazoo? It was like a pad. It was like a sponge or something. What was that?
Pumi stick. It's just a chunk of pumice rock. So like a open poured, almost like a sponge looking, but it's pumice. And if you really neglect them, that's a good place to start. I'm still a fan of the white scouring powder and the nylon brush.
Okay.
So just some Comet and some water and a nylon brush, toothbrush or something.
Yeah, and it'll keep them new, man.
Sweet. Awesome.
Been an expensive week.
Happens. Right.
Yeah.
So what about traditional archery, man? How'd you get into that?
I'm trying to think. I was working at, I got to think time frame wise.
You're surrounded by, like, you're in Indiana. You're by Three Rivers. You're close to Michigan. I mean,
dude, it's horrible.
It's kind of like fate. Like, you're kind of screwed.
Right. I don't want to say how close I live to Three Rivers, but it's enough to have a problem. And when you talk to them, they're like, can we just set you up as a vendor? And I'm like, why is that? And they're like, it'll be cheaper. So, yeah, I'm a trad. I got in there. I think I was probably, I was 19. I bought my first house. And a buddy of mine got a Shakespeare and Nikita. I believe it was 45, but it was a double plus bow. So it was 47 under the shelf plate. And we found it in a garbage can, and I took it up to Three Rivers. I think it was Faree. I think that's how you pronounce their name, but the first owners of Three Rivers. I went in there and they got me all set up, B-55s, Otter, and then I got mink, and I got six snuffers, six woodsmans, the Buff Tough, Carbon Express just came out, and that was when Carbon just come out and is really controversial, and everybody was saying, like, you know, you can't eat the meat if it breaks, you know what I mean? Like that era, so late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
2000, 2001. The toxic. 2002, maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I remember some heavily debated Trad King threads about carbon arrows.
Right, right. So that was the devil. I got some of those, and I got some woodies, and then I went and killed a couple carp up a creek with those woodsmans. Maybe it was the snuffers, but I killed two carp spawning in a creek. And then but I always grew up with bows. I was a Burley Hall leg humper. He had BP archery. He was a badass IBO shooter, won it all, you know. He was there in Kendallville, so I grew up shooting compounds at an early age, and shot compounds till I was about, well, I think I hunted for some years with a compound and a stick bow, but I got really hardcore addicted to fishing for big brown fish all over the Great Lakes, like addict level of, like, can't sleep, puking at the boat ramp, like anxiety of just fishing big water. I mean, I was a junkie. I still got a big glass boat. I sold my big boat, but fishing really interrupted a bunch of stuff.
You mean like bow fishing, like for carp and stuff?
Well, I did that, but I'm talking like smallmouth, walleye, muskie, Lake Erie, Western Basin, yep. Eastern Basin, Detroit River, like Saginaw, Thunder Bay, like got a bad problem with it, and I'd probably still be going hard at it, but I've blowed so many discs out in my neck. It's, I mean, I could do a good 3-dayer and 3 to 5 footers and still make it to work on Monday, but it feels like I've been beat to death and drugged down a road, man. Being a weekend warrior and fishing when you got time, and it always starts out 1 to 2s northwest. Then you get out there, it's 7 to 9s northeast whole lake. So,
God.
Fishing kind of took over. Still always was hunting in between there, bow fishing, coyote calling, trapping, coon dogs, squirrel dogs, like turkey hunting. Just always been an addict in the outdoors. Try to hit it all, man.
That's awesome. Do you remember your first traditional kill?
Yeah, with that Shakespeare Nikita three piece a couple years ago, my first one. That's when I was carrying. I'm looking at it right now. I think that bow is 25 years old. I haven't, that compound, it's been up there. I don't know how long it's been since I pulled that thing back.
How'd that hunt go down? Give us a story.
That would have been the place I've always Well, that was actually, that might be the last doe I killed where I've always hunted, just because we got hit hard with EHD. And I mean, there was at one point in time in Indiana, you could kill 691 does with a lifetime license. In our deer herd. But I'm trying to think, that's, I think that was the last doe I've taken with archery equipment. And then it was probably like 2003 or four, but yeah, just, that old tree stand that I've always hunted and was carrying both bows, and she slid in there about 7-8 yards and double lunged her with those. I think it was the Woodsman's with that Carbon Express, or it might have been a snuffer, and she just piled up about 60 yards.
You know, the guys back then probably would have said that's what caused the EHD. You shot her with a carbon.
Probably, yeah.
Widespread EHD from that moment forward.
It's Jess's fault.
Yeah, no, that it was weird in the carbon world forever. Like, there's a lot of stigmas about it. One of the things that sucked about carbons early on was components.
Yeah, split a lot of arrows hitting stuff hard.
Oh gosh, dude, those Beemans and ACCs and all the stuff I used to shoot and try to cross over and chunk through a stick bow, man, that didn't go good stumping with that crap. I mean, it was just Splinter City. But now all the collars, and I mean, I just run the Three Rivers aluminum collar, and it's absolutely brutal what I do those Beeman center shots.
Yeah, I remember there was a time, it was popular on Trad Gang, you'd go to the grocery store and buy s'more sticks, and yeah, like you would buy s'more sticks from the grocery store.
Yeah.
And you would cut them in like 2-inch sections, and you'd put JB Weld or, you know, some sort of epoxy, and you'd slide that into the arrow first and then put your insert. Well, it wasn't even to add weight. It was just to add glue surface.
Bulletproof it.
To lessen the likelihood of your insert shoving up the shaft, because you had an extra 2 inches of glue.
I thought I was really hip putting aluminum footers on them. And I mean, back then on my stumpers, I threw sort of like that much on the front.
2 inch of aluminum.
Didn't realize you were creating the first FMJ.
I'm just leery about aluminum anymore. Just how much, well, like I haven't been shooting hard in the last year, but I'm about ready to fire up for Africa this fall. And that'll probably be like 100 shots of blank bail every morning before work and start getting in a routine. But as much as I shoot, I just would worry about those FMJs. I've never tried them, but it seems like, wouldn't you still get the bends and stuff from hitting arrows side by side still? Is that
I mean, I would say you're adding the worst part of aluminum to a carbon.
They're just so expensive.
Hey, right, it's nice because you get the weight,
but it carries a bend though, right? I don't know. I've never
Bend an FMJ.
Well, don't they have it reversed where the carbon's on the outside? On didn't they run something like that?
I think that the aluminum's on the outside.
Well, I know, standard FMJ. I do know there are some where you have like if you want to go that route, you can look at like the Victory SS's, and those have a stainless steel weave
in the center.
You guys heard it, Snyder, I'm sure, say whatever you like, just shoot it and then turn social media off.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's what I do with my club.
I did it. Tuttle and I did it to ourselves because I think between Big Jim and Three Rivers together, I think we bought like, I don't know, and I'm not exaggerating, I think we bought like 56 dozen Beeman center shots. So they were like, I mean, he was running a killer deal on them. Then we bought a wholesale. So I got like 600s for the kids, 500s, 400s, 340s, like, I mean, piles of them. And there's no way it would get any cheaper than how I bought them, splitting them with Tuttle. And so I just run that aluminum footer on those Beeman center shots. They were kind of the bastard 932s. So they never really took off. Now they're the new Sonic without the wrap.
Exactly, because I think a center shot's it's like one step bigger than an axis, but you're not to a standard diameter.
Right. And you're not, you're still doing RPS components, but I just run the aluminum Three Rivers collar.
Yeah.
And I've had no issue.
Chris is lost at the moment.
No, I learned a lot. I learned a lot last week with, because Safari Top just came out with their tie pants. And I always call the thing on the front a footer. It's a footer. Well, apparently they're collars. I didn't know. Now I know. Now I'm like schooled. Shoot wood arrows, dude. I mean,
I got wood.
I'm learning.
Yeah, I know.
I just ordered two dozen of those tie pants. So,
dude, I picked these up for $20. These half dozen at
Those are beautiful. Who made those?
Yeah, I know the old Super Light XX75s, 2413s.
Hell yeah! Super Who crested Light. Those?
Some guy had two sets of them. And he said he did it himself, and they're beautiful.
They look good. They look real nice.
They're no Chopper Chad, but
no.
It's hard to stand up to those.
Oh my goodness! Like what those? Who got the real tree or whatever? Did you get those, Chris?
No, I do my own. I do my own. Hang on.
Oh boy, show and tell.
Show and tell.
Bob Ross time.
Happy mistakes.
You missed a great group text message about that. Chris has a lot of happy accidents.
So these are Kuyas.
How long does something like that take?
I think I probably have like in all 12 of these, because these are the Verde. They took probably about 2 hours to do all 12 of them. Just the hand painted camo. Yeah. These were pretty quick. These are the Vias, whatever. And they're a little more spaced out and pretty easy to do. But these, you got like all those little cream colored dots. I don't know if you can see them.
My brain doesn't let me scatter stuff like that.
Right. Disposable heroes. You can't make them look that good and shoot them every day, can you?
Oh, dude, I was sending these off trees and
shit.
Yeah, I don't care.
Don't get those back. Anytime I give a bow out to kids or somebody getting new into traditional archery,
yeah,
I always just hand them those arrows and like, I'll bring them back. And I go, you better not.
Yeah.
That means you ain't shooting. I mean,
I always give the same, don't worry, just have fun.
So I'm waiting for those carbons to show up, because I'm going to probably paint those up something fancy. I just haven't figured it out yet.
Those are 204, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Way to stick with it, Chris. You're
inside diameter, right? Yeah.
Correct. Yes.
All right. And the outside is 225, I think.
259. Okay. 259. Is that an S knock? I can't remember what knock that is.
I mean, they came out with their own knocks, but it's an X knock in the Easton world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good knock.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing with carbons a little bit. That'll be fun.
No, I have wood. I got quite a few wood arrows. My Zebra rig I got off of Randy Quarter and Matt Kramer compilation, that big 68-inch longbow. I got some wood arrows tuned for that.
I still have some ideas I want to do for the hand-painted stuff. I got some really good ideas. And I want to do Schaefer. We still have a dozen Sherwoods to give away, don't we?
We do.
We're gonna do last year I did a set of Fred Bear camo for Compton, and we gave it away to Etar. And I'd like to do that again, except Brad was gonna do Badass Brad Shoots Trad.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Brad Bixler?
Dude, I've unplugged so bad.
I'm pretty sure you've met Brad before. I think you met him last year at Etar, I think. He's
rad with a ponytail.
Yeah, you camped right across from us last year, right? It was it was 2 years ago. You and Dave camped right across, right?
Right.
Yeah, you've met him before.
Yeah.
Brad's really good at splicing feathers. So the plan is I'm going to hand paint something up again this year like I did last year. And he's going to splice some feathers for him. So they should be pretty fancy. And we'll probably do, we did a raffle with Compton and raised some money for Compton. I forget. I don't know. I don't remember how much money it raised, but I think it did all right.
It did well.
So
it served its purpose.
That's all, man. And I like making them, so it's fun for me. And Carson donated 2 dozen. We did 1 dozen last year. We're going to do another dozen this year, and then should be fun. So I like doing that stuff, man. I'm doing a set of arrows for Newman's son. I don't know if you know Newman Landa. He's his son got have you seen those the quivers that Perino did with Selway? Chris Perino did with Selway. So his son got one of the Selway logo ones with like a multicam, but it's like a real dark colored multicam. And so I'm going to be painting some of those, some arrows to match that quiver.
Sweet.
For his new ILF bow. So I'm looking forward to doing those too. Yeah, those are going to be, they're going to be hard, dude. They're going to be fun. But.
And I've heard the Sherwood shaft. Like, I couldn't even tell you most of my wood shafts, but that's all I hear is good out of that.
There is nothing that holds a candle to those arrows in the wood world. I heard you
used to have to buy like 1,000 to make like.
I almost had an opportunity to get some Acmes not too long ago, but that fell through. And I think they're the only thing that are close if you want cedar. But I mean, when you get something from Sherwood, it's like
it's done dead.
It's right? like carbon it's, quality. It's like you're right. looking at a carbon arrow, but it's wood. Like it's that good and that consistent. It's amazing that somebody can take a natural product and make it that consistent. It's pretty amazing. I mean, Carson puts out one hell of a product.
Did I hear it on TradQuest? I think they were talking to him, but don't they buy all their own stuff and sourced and everything? Like,
yeah, right. It's all Deadfall and stuff. It's reclaimed wood. Like any kind of, I believe it's all just like trees that have fallen down, and he works with the Forest Service to get it. I believe that's how he does it.
I'm glad people are keeping that stuff going.
Oh yeah. He puts out one hell of a product. There, I mean, those things are just amazing for wood, for something God made. It's just amazing how perfect, you know.
And they smell good when they break.
Mm. They're dug furs.
Yeah,
they're dug furs. They're
no cedar.
Yeah, but the cedars.
But when Chris breaks one, you get lots of laughs.
All of that being said, I have not tried Wapiti yet, so I cannot loop them in the hole when I say that I have not tried Wapiti yet. And I've heard good things about them, so I need to get off my ass and try those.
I just want to get... Dean did it the other day. He just bought a half dozen whites off of Chopper Chad just to put on the wall. You know what I mean? Just art. Like
Chad's is just art. He's on a different level, dude. I have a dozen arrows, feathers to do a dozen arrows that he made, and I bought them 3 years ago from him, and I haven't used them yet because I haven't made the perfect arrow for them yet. I'm like, nah, these arrows aren't good. Any arrow I've made, I'm like, nah, they're not good enough.
This is not worthy of Chopper Chad feathers.
Because they're so, and they're in my shop in the other room, and I'm like, I stare at them every now and then. I forget how much, they're not cheap, but I'm like, nope, not good enough for Chad's feathers. I gotta build an arrow for those feathers because they're freaking beautiful feathers. They're absolutely beautiful.
Then the older I get, the more I respect that stuff.
Absolutely. Dude.
He's got such a talent.
I mean, right. Like those Halstead knives we carry. I people don't know. I snub Brian Halstead. Like when they pass one around the campfire, I just go like, look at it real quick and like hand it down. I'm like, I'm not spending $700 on a knife. You know what I mean? It's worth it is what I was thinking. But like that needs to go away from me. Cause, and then, you know, and he came
You'd
up
be in trouble. Like,
right, I'm looking at his knives. I go, "What's something like that cost?" Just, and he's like, $220. And I'm like, "What?" I go, "How many hours you got in there?" He's like, 15, 18, and the leather work and everything. And I'm like, "Dude, you're not even making." You know what I mean? Like,
he's definitely not breaking even.
No, it's the quality of like any of that stuff that's out there. Chopper Chad, Halsteads.
Yep.
What Sauk Trail's doing right now. I mean, what's his name at Sauk Trail?
Mike.
Mike. Dude, yep.
He's making a great big 3D piece that I got to get one. It's a big chunky work of art and all the wood he's putting on that stuff.
He's on our short list to get on here sooner or later. We were talking to him at Kalamazoo.
Yeah, because you were twinsies with him.
Yeah, we were twinsies. We had the same flannel on. He's super rad. He's such a nice dude.
Right, and he makes appearances like that. Just because he doesn't make a show, he still
shows up, yeah. Right. Back to the knife thing, man. I love how many knife makers we got out there right now. There's so many good knives.
Styles.
Yep. Tori with Sacred Bear.
Sacred Bear. He's at Etar. I'm trying to think of some other guys that I've been seeing lately, custom knives make. Oh, we're Dave Rickey's.
I haven't seen him yet.
So he's who Brian Halstead understudied. So Brian was under him for like 40 years. He's like early 80s.
Yeah.
And I actually got some of the last, I'm thinking, hopefully he builds more. But I got some Damascus stuff that'll blow your mind in a folder, dude. Like, the only thing he's not making is the screws.
Wow.
And it's
crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
it's pretty crazy.
Yep. Teaming up with those guys, Brian and Dave, though. Brian slings our sharpener, so we sling his knives. And we got a Steamboat line, Steamboat Special. Lennon Mercado with a finger groove and a drop point. And then we got one with all Trex handles. And that scabbard also has the Ranger and the Vertical built into it.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Right. No, yeah. Brian knocked it out of the park on that line of knives. Because I sold my personal knife to Big Jim's guy. I forget his first name. But he bought my personal knife. I bet I could have sold that knife 200 times over, and he finally cleaned me out on my old Buckeye Burl. I had Brian build some Lennon Mercado, and then he built this Altrex, and it's like a rubberized texture that still grinds and mills, but it's just so tacky in your hand. 154C. Brian does great stuff, guys. Check him out, Big River Blades.
I love it, man. There's so many good people out there making really cool stuff. It's pretty awesome.
I got to order a Styles. I've seen enough go through rendezvous and stuff. I got to get one.
He does okay work.
That's what I say. I say when I show people, I'm like, check this hack out. And, you know, I'm like, show them.
Exactly.
He's not a hack. And I'm like, I know it's sarcasm. Guys, look at this stuff. I
mean, this is my stumpy that Travis made for me.
I like that point. I just bought an American made Hogue. It has that same design.
I'm a dork and I really like red and black. So he put some red and black G10, but that, like, where your finger wraps in there. Oh,
made
dude,
for it's you.
So nice. Like, it's perfect. I got to get a, he does Kydex and I like leather. So I got to find somebody to make me a leather sheath. And this is
dude,
one I bought
Kydex.
Off.
They nice. Kydex set up with the push button on it, the tension.
Yeah.
He's got it dialed in, man.
This is one I got off Tori from Sacred Bear last summer, and I absolutely love that one too. That's like, I take that's with me a lot. I don't know what wood that is, but it's really pretty.
How long is he a PA guy?
Yeah, he's from out by Bloomsburg.
We met him at Etar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tori's great. He's a good dude. Yeah, he's been doing that for a little while too. He's really into. I'm gonna screw this
folders.
Up. They're like slip jacks or something like that. I think he calls them
friction folders.
But they have like he was explaining it to me the one day. Like his folders like have to have this perfect like action to them, and if they do, there's dudes that collect it and they get the biggest. They get the biggest boner over that way that thing moves and it clicks and stuff. And like he's got it dialed. And dude, those knives are sick. They are just, they're beautiful. I got no idea what kind of effort he puts in those things, but they are absolutely just beautiful.
Respect it all, man. All
these
warriors and guys making handmade stuff. Like it's
awesome.
Nuts.
It's cool when you go to Etar and you see all these people. Like it's not just bows and arrows, it's all kinds of cool stuff.
leather making and all that stuff, you know? And then you got a guy that does sharpeners.
Kinda.
Oh man, that's good stuff.
Gets through it, right?
I don't know. I am blown away. I seriously, like, I had high expectations, but it was blown away when I got home and I started screwing with this thing. It takes somebody like me who's not very talented in getting things sharp, and I can get like I said, my knives just pop hair now. And I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that with a freaking Lansky. I can get them sharp. I've got a deer, I can skin a deer, no problem. But like I just couldn't get them that perfect razor edge. And these, holy crap, dude. These things make me look good.
No,
that's hard to do. Easy. So they got to be good. Well, yeah.
I don't think you look bad, Chris.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Schaefer's, he's an ass.
Build him up. Don't break him down, Schaefer.
It's all about beating me up. It's okay. I'm used to it.
It's like absolutely. The military. It's going to come around sometime.
It will.
Oh, every time my beard gets mentioned, trust me, it comes around. Frickin' Victor Posey tagged me in a post today on Facebook of like a chihuahua with like six beard hairs.
So Will Nichols made a comment on his little video the other day. He did him shooting. He's like, that beard looks awesome, and so does that shot. And my reply was, one of those is a lie. Schaefer's got a really nice shot. That's for damn sure.
Well, it was a good shot. I don't know if the shot is good.
I like how in the video you're like, yeah, probably made that look like a pluck. I was like, no, that was a pluck, Schaefer.
No, it's the death swirl, according to Newman.
It's funny where that arrow goes with that pluck a lot of times, too.
Holy shit, he doesn't miss, dude. He hits everything he's shooting at, so it just drives me up a wall.
Hey, dude, and however people want to do it, I know there's always the debate, man. Whatever's your flavor jam, do it, man.
As long as you're consistent.
Right. Just got to pluck twice the same way. Right, it's easy.
Man. That's it.
No, if you do everything wrong the exact same way and you have a system,
you're good.
You'll get this right.
Just be consistent. I love it. What else we need to cover here, fellas, before this night ends?
Been good, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling my night's going to get more expensive by the time we're off of this.
I've been looking at them sharpeners. I've had a real intimate relationship since like January 7th. Like I burned up a bunch of vacation and we went on a trip. And the November and December we had, and then did 3 weeks kind of like on short notice on vacation. And I came back to... Yeah, I dug myself a hole, and I've been in the last 3 months trying to dig myself out, and I'm seeing light. But that's awesome. Show season's going to start.
What's your schedule look like? What do you got coming up? You're doing Compton?
Ooh. Compton, Etar. Compton, Etar. I don't know if we're doing GLLI. We'll be making an appearance at MTB. GLLI. I think we're doing the Tennessee Classic. I think we're going down there. And some off and on bigger events. We did a home and garden show.
How'd that go? Because that's when we originally tried to schedule this podcast, and you were doing that home and garden show.
No, dude. How'd it go? Nuts.
It was nuts. Cool?
No, legitimately... I thought numbers would be good, but it's just, I mean, that's, you know, I'm in the trad community, I'm in the outdoor community, fishing community, so that's kind of what we've been basing everything off of. And I think we're doing TAC up there at Crystal Mountain again. Cool. And all I do is hang stick bows up and try to convert them like Jehovah's Witness door knocking. You know what I mean? They're like, what's that? You shoot that? And I go, yeah, oh yeah, I shoot that. You kill anything with it? I've been thinking about doing many. It. Here, take it.
It doesn't take much, dude. If some dudes at Total Archery Challenge, it's because they want a challenge.
They want fun.
They want challenge and they want fun. Absolutely. And their normal compound shooting isn't doing it for them. And then they see a dude with a traditional bow, and it's just like, it's
what if we tell you can have the same amount of fun but at 20 yards.
Yeah, with way cooler people.
I know. I think they think it's, what was that old joke? And I'm not being mean, but plumper girls and mopeds.
They're both like, fun to ride as long as your friends don't see them.
Right. And I think it's like when they come over to you, they're like, so you can hit anything with that? You know, it's like, and then they're like, can I touch it? Yeah, you can touch it. But, you know, but once they start shooting it, I mean, the best thing you could ever do is, and I, dude, I got so many bows loaned out. I mean, literally right now, I'm probably between kids' bows and stuff, I'm 6 or 7 short. And if they don't come back, I don't care. But if you get a kid a quiver full of arrows and a tab or a glove and just give them a little bit of like the baseball stance, shoulders, and, you know, stand here and.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be, there's every robin in the yard is going to be run down and tried to be assassinated.
Dude, you know what the best, you want to convert a compound guy, give him a wood arrow with a ace hex head on it or something and let them go shoot a bunch of leaves and realize that, holy crap, you can get your arrow back and you don't nuke it every time you don't hit foam or dead animal. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's one of my, stumping is one of my favorite things in the world. And like, I would rather go stumping than shoot my backyard any day.
Oh, absolutely.
And right. It's just,
it's always changing. The course is always moving. And it's a real life situation, right?
Exactly. And you can never do that with a compound. Never in a million years.
No. Oh no. You just have.
You have nothing left. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I think that's a selling point right there in itself, I think.
No, it's good times. Good people. You know, and that's why I tell people, like, you got to be half off in today's modern world to even pick up a stick bow or a single string bow of any. I guess, you know, I'm a metal head. I like that DOS platform. But like, even at that, even being a regimented shooter, kind of having a system, there's nothing like going. I think this course out front here, I think it's 60 yards. But my yard's shaped like an amphitheater, a complete amphitheater. You walk out the basement to the deck, and that's just bow hangers and PVC pipes. And then I got a line, a clothesline set up in 5-yard increments with foam targets. They're pigs for cleaning natural gas lines, and they came from a contractor. But, I got them from 3 to 8 to 10, 3, 4, 6, 8, and 10 inches. And they're set up down that line. So down that amphitheater, you're shooting level. So every arrow, you never have to worry about losing. So it's just free range.
Yeah.
And then you just sprinkle in some Mackenzies on the hill. And it's kind of the happy times back there, just plugging arrows with the kids.
It's the best, dude.
Abso-frickin-lutely.
That is the best.
No, it's a good day with a bow in your hand.
Heck yeah. Every day. Yeah, definitely. What else we need to cover? You got your show schedule out there. Where can people find Steamboat Sharpeners? What's your website?
At the best. And easiest website ever. Like, no, our website's like that long. SteamboatSuperSharpeners.com.
Or you could just Google Steamboat Sharpeners.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's how I found it.
Yeah. And it, probably a bunch of advertisement over top of us in the Google ad space.
Right. Firsthand, you can't go wrong. I absolutely love this thing, and I'm having such a good time with it, and it makes my life easier because I suck at sharpening things. So if somebody's looking for a sharpener, it's the way to go for sure.
Oh, and I was thinking about, this is the second prototype of the new material, but how about you guys give away one of these stations set up?
Are we allowed to join?
Yeah, no, Schaefer. Go ahead and put y'all's name in there. Just don't double dip like I know you shouldn't.
Schaefer, what do you want? You want to give away a station?
Yeah. So it has the DiaSharp double-sided stones. It'll have a coarse and an extra coarse, an extra fine and a fine.
Holy crap, that's fancy.
Yeah. So Yeah, you'll get the second one off the new CNC. I replaced the new machine. So,
what are the stipulations? They got to follow you.
Say follow Steamboat, follow us normally, and then
what do we need? Tag a few friends.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're supposed to do on that, dude. I'm so.
How about this? We'll do a tag you or follow you, follow us.
Yep.
Tag a friend, and list something you sharpen.
Yeah. Tell us.
However you guys want to run your raffle, let's do that. I'll sling some stuff. Yeah.
I like it.
And do a second place for a harvester. So
you're doing two?
Do the first prototype. This is actually the first one off the press. So,
well, hot dang.
Right. All right, so if two sharpeners.
A little bit of flaws, work with me. Come on
it's,
now.
It's all right. It's all right. It's a prototype. All so you got it. That's, I mean, maybe you could autograph it or something like that, and that'll make it even.
That'll
even
make
more.
The value go down like Derek Jeter's baseballs in a pawn shop.
All right, this is what we're doing. We're doing, we're going to do a post. We'll get Jess to send us a picture of the two sharpeners, and we'll do, you got to follow Steamboat Sharpeners. You got to follow the Broken Arrow. You got to tag one friend.
Sure. One friend.
One friend. Sure. And tell us what you got. Tell us. Yeah. Tell same here. Tell us what you're sharpening.
Broadhead, knife, scissors, good pair of Fiskars, whatever it happens to be.
There you go. And that's awesome, man. Thanks for doing that. That's awesome. Somebody will luck out really well with that thing, man. That thing's sick.
I was about to say that system, I think you have it on your site for $300. That's not a little giveaway.
Yeah, and fancy. Guys, I don't remember. The stones are like 130. 135 ish. I can't remember. And then you add your shipping and tax, but we sell our whole product for 300.
That's awesome. So that is freaking sweet. It's a
we're
thank
not
you,
out
dude.
To gouge the world. We want to sling some sharpeners, make good American made stuff, and promote other American made companies too. And that's something we really try to network. Like there's not really any secrets. Rhino makes our carrying case. Mm-hmm. Rhino Products makes a lot of bow cases and bags and different stuff in the trad community. And then we got our premium case out of Illinois. Then I got a young leather worker who's also a butcher at my buddy's and makes a really nice leather, like nostalgic looking, like almost medicine bag, saddle bag. Sick. And awesome. We try to keep it all in-house, all American.
I love it, dude. That's awesome.
Yep.
Very, very cool.
That's what we like to hear.
Yeah, well, people get in on that. That's awesome. That's one heck of a giveaway. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
That is killer.
Nope.
All right.
And was this the bottom of the barrel? Is this how I got on?
No.
I didn't know because I was worried, like, you guys are going to stop doing podcasts in a couple days if it rained down to me.
No. Actually, do you want to see the list? Holy crap, dude.
No, I'm joking.
We have a list. It's funny because Schaefer and I keep joking about it, but it's like, we're going to run out of people here sooner or later. And it's
Craig,
like,
and one of our goals is like, you got to get the same people. Like, there are certain people that are just like known for being on podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Brian and like, Burkhart, Randy Cooling.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
But like, obviously, you always talk to them, but like, one of our main goals is to have average Joes or like
our friends, the people we
different
run into
individuals,
through, the people we run into through traditional archery who we love to hang out with and you know, share a campfire with or share a hunt or like a course, shooting a course with.
Right.
There's so many people out there with good stories, and it's like, holy crap, we're never going to run out of material here because all we got to do is sit here and listen. And there's just so many awesome people involved. So it's really easy. So we have one hell of a list.
Well, the thing is, I mean, like I said, you in today's time, shooting a stick bow, you're all kind of like-minded. You're wired backwards anyway.
Yeah.
Right. With modern equipment. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but guys that shoot traditional bows are also really good talkers.
That is true.
Dude, that's why I told Reese. She goes, well, you're booked on the podcast. And I go, what's that? And she goes, tomorrow. And I said, Reese, I've been in that damn shop for 3 months straight, like talking to myself.
Oh, that was her headphones. I was talking.
All some of those inappropriate jokes that were made are coming back.
No, I kept it clean. I'm so glad I kept it clean. Oh, that's funny.
That's like what we do to people.
Yeah, because we have one Instagram account for the podcast, but like one of us will start talking to somebody and the other one will see somebody's having a conversation and they'll jump in on the same account. So you're getting lambasted from two people on the same account. It's like, holy shit, who's talking to me here? What's going on here?
It's dude, funny. I would be the alter ego if I had that power. God.
We have so much fun with it. Schaefer's like the main social media guy for this thing, but on occasion I'll like jump in, especially if I see I'm getting beat up by somebody and like they're talking smack on me. It's usually when I jump in, but yeah. Oh God, so much fun.
Oh man, this has been a blast.
Absolutely. Jess, thanks for finally getting on here, man. We've been trying to do this for a bit. So
I think it was Primitive Pursuit Podcast. I think Mike was after me.
Yeah. I got to catch up with Mike. It's been a minute.
It has. I haven't talked to him in a minute either.
We need to get him out of an ETAR or something. He's a good time. He is one heck of a good time. Before we wrap it up, dude, is there anything you need to cover? Anything you need to shout out or anything like that?
Is that for me?
Yeah, it's for you, man.
No, I've done.
The last time we said it, you offered a giveaway. So, you know, we didn't know what else.
I think we got it covered.
But wait, there's more. Dude, here's one thing I'll tell you about the sharpening business. Buying the sharpening business, I never thought. Like, I've worked heavy steel fabrication for 15 years, grew up on a dairy farm working, did crazy amounts of pipeline work for years. Even at my age, I'm pretty well versed in labor. I never thought of going to a show for like 4 days straight and being a windbag, selling a sharpener and demoing it over and over again. I never thought in a million years, like when Reese and I are done for a show, she's like, we'll have big dinner plans and get back to the hotel and this or that. And I'm like, grab some fast food. I want to go to bed. I never thought, dude. I bet I lose probably 10,000 calories standing up there doing. That's no joke.
You do the demonstration quite a bit. It's funny to watch. Every time I walk by you at Kalamazoo, you were doing a different demonstration for somebody.
But that, I mean, and I never. It's not like we put something on the shelf and people walk by and like, oh, they got those. Mm-hmm. Like half the time, people walk by and you're like, what the hell is that?
What is that? What does it do?
And they walk past, but then they're here. What is that? So no, I never contemplated something like that though. But it's what it's turned into, and it's been a great adventure. And hopefully, we can be around for another 50 years and hand something down to these. Not handed. They ain't getting nothing handed. Gabe started an apprenticeship about 3 months ago, first of the year, out in the shop. So
put him to work.
Excellent.
No, it is one hell of a product. Thanks
for having me, man.
Heck yeah, dude. Absolutely. We'll see you in July for sure.
Yep. Yeah, and I think Ryan will be coming out there for VPA.
Oh, yeah?
And making a guest appearance. But I think he said he's going to maybe I don't know who's going to have the VPA stuff there. Either they'll be there or we'll be carrying their stuff.
We love VPA.
Yes.
Amen.
Yep, absolutely. Very, very cool. Schaefer, do we still have a code going for VPA?
Should be Broken Arrow 10.
10. Yeah. There you go. So if you're in need of VPA anything, use that.
Also having a huge sale, which probably isn't worth mentioning on this podcast because I think by the time it airs,
it might be over.
But if it's not, on the off chance, this is your chance.
There is a sale. So if you need some VPA stuff, Broken Arrow 10. Sick. All right. Well, Jess, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it a ton.
Absolutely.
No problem, guys.
And thanks podcast trick, you don't actually leave when we say goodbye.
Yep.
I'm out of here like a fat kid in dodgeball.
quick before we go, just want to take a moment and thank our partner, Black Widow Bows, along with Addictive Archery, Safari Tough, Great Northern Quivers, and Laurel Mountain Outfitters. Also, if you have a moment, please take the time to leave us a review. It really helps us out. On top of that, I just want to thank everyone for listening. Hope you enjoyed, and best of luck out there.